are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Welcome aboard the A.B. Beth Berkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Made it to Friday. Another crazy, chaotic week in the rear view, and nothing's changed. The never-Trump people are up in arms as they brace for what could be a contested convention. Meanwhile, on the Democratic side, despite Hillary having a clean sweep of 5 states on Tuesday, Bernie is vowing to roll on only halfway home, he says. Oh, and by the way, should he secure the nomination, he'll ask President Obama to drop his pick for the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland, on the grounds that he's not progressive enough. Wow. Speaking of which, we're going to take on that, was it a cagey or too safe maneuver on the part of President Obama. He's getting blowback from both sides, Republicans who vow to obstruct the course of the nomination, and progressives who say this guy might not be the real deal. We'll talk about that with an observant legal eagle in a few moments. Also, inspiration to action, challenge, success stories, some music to launch us into the weekend, and you in the mix. Are you listening live? It is Friday, March 18th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central. Noon here in the East, number in motion 347-857-4505. You know, it's a 24/7 Twitter tango, so live or on podcast, feel free to chime in at AB Writes. And I think our Facebook page is open as well, so says Aurora. So if you have a lot to say and want to do it with your fingers, go ahead. The show today brought to you in part by Lowe's. Thinking about a spring spruce-up? They've got great savings and ideas at Lowe's. Also by PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation on air, online. PopNet now features select editions of the Andy Beth Arkowitz Show. So, yeah, let's talk about lots of things, but let's start off with the Supreme Court nomination of U.S. Appeals Judge Merrick Garland. He seems impeccably qualified. He seems kind of middle of the road, and maybe doesn't have a great track record, which seems strange since he's been on the bench for quite a while. So let's talk about that with our guest. I believe we have Greg Gervin with us. He is a noted attorney and legal and political observer. Hey, Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. Nice to speak with you.
Great to speak to you too, Greg. So, Greg, let's game this nomination a bit. First of all, what do you know about Merrick Garland in terms of his background? And did you think it was a surprising choice, a good choice? What's your take?
Yeah. So as far as his background is concerned, eminently qualified. He kind of checks all the boxes that you would expect for a Supreme Court nominee. Excellent educational pedigree, Harvard undergrad, Harvard Law School, I believe. Worked in government and is set on what everyone calls the second most important court in the land for, better part of 2 decades at this point. And so checks all the boxes as far as qualifications. Was he a surprise? I think it depends what people thought Obama was going to do. If they thought that he was going to take a safe selection, then, yeah, everyone kind of thought that Garland would be the perfect choice. If they thought he was going to try to be more aggressive with his choice, then there were a bunch of other names being floated about that would have even caught more blowback in certain circles than Garland did. But I think this was as safe a choice as he could make given the political realities of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. Also, he's older than most of the nominees have been in recent years, correct? I mean, he's 63.
That's another thing that makes it a quote-unquote safe pick. In other words, one of the major concerns from folks on the right was that this pick could completely reorient the judiciary for a generation or more. Replacing Scalia with anyone was going to have huge long-term impacts. But it's a lot different to appoint someone who's 63 years old as opposed to someone who's, let's say, 45 or 48 years old, because you presumably take a decade or more away from the term that this justice would serve if confirmed.
Right, and also he was someone who was confirmed already for his current position and who has gotten high praise and endorsements by people like Chuck Grassley, who is the head of the Judiciary Committee, Orrin Hatch, et cetera. But, of course, now they don't want to go forward because they're imploring what they call the so-called Biden rule,
you know, when Joe Biden, who was then a senator and head of the Judiciary Committee during the first George H.W. Bush's term, didn't want to proceed with a nominee so close to the end of the president's term. Of course, that didn't really work out because they wound up anyway, I believe, going through with the hearings. And they may do so here. I mean, I think that's why it was cagey on Obama's part, right? Because he picked someone who it was really hard to say no to on the face value. They would only have to say no on their obstructionist methods, which they had been using for, one could argue, the entire Obama tenure. So that was cagey. On the other hand, he's getting blowback from progressives. I don't know if you heard about it. A lot of people are not thrilled on the Democratic end of things because they really wanted a gutsier move. They wanted maybe a person of color. They wanted maybe another woman, although he's already appointed two women. They wanted somebody who had more of a progressive pedigree.
Yeah, I caught, you know, it's he's in a tough spot. He was in a tough spot no matter what he did. He couldn't please anybody. I caught on the news that Bernie Sanders has announced that if he gets the nomination and ultimately wins the presidency, which, you know, maybe less likely than not at this point, but he would ask Obama to withdraw the nomination.
Yeah, I just mentioned that at the opening. Yeah, that's right.
Garland is sufficiently progressive, and of course, you know, were a Republican to win the nomination or win the presidency, they obviously the whole Republican obstructionist tactic would have worked, and he won't be confirmed. I guess the interesting question would be, if Hillary Clinton won, what would she do? When I saw the announcement, I kind of had a different thought than everyone else. From my perspective, Obama is the president, and he knows he's on his way out, and he wants to do everything he can in his last months in office to shape the country the way he sees fit. He was elected for 8 years, and he wants to do it. So I suspect when he was approaching making the Supreme Court nomination pick, he went to his team and said, look, I want to have the person who gives me the best chance of getting my appointment on the court. And I think that's who this nominee is. I don't think he was willing to delegate this to the next president, certainly if it's a Republican, but even if it's a Democrat. You know, he was elected to the position, and he wants to exercise his authority for all 8 years, and we're seeing that in a bunch of ways with the executive orders and a whole bunch of different things that he's doing in these last couple of years of his presidency, and I think this is in line with that and, you know, in my opinion, totally appropriate.
Well, absolutely, but what I think is so fascinating is the Republicans, their machinations, and when they first said, and I think it was the night that Antonin Scalia passed away, they came out and said, well, we're not going to even entertain any nominee, we're not going to have any hearings. My reaction to that was, okay, we know they're going to obstruct, but have ever heard of go along with the gag? I mean, go through the process and then vote the person down, wait and see, because you make yourself look worse, I think, to the American people with all their obstructionism, which only helps the Democrats, I think. The other thing that's interesting now, it's been leaked that they're kind of thinking behind the scenes, they're not certainly not going to vote on him while for now, but they're holding in reserve the fact that it come after the election, when it's their true lame duck period, they may, if Hillary Clinton wins, decide to go through with this guy because they think he's a safer bet than somebody who might be far more liberal that she may come up with, or if it's Bernie Sanders, certainly will be far more liberal. So what's your take on that? I mean, they're showing their hand too much.
I suspect that, look, if you are if you're Hillary Clinton, let's say Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, I suspect that she's going to come in with her 100 days agenda, or her first 6 month agenda, and what she doesn't want stuck right in the middle of her agenda, I suspect, is a contentious Supreme Court fight. That's going to take attention away from her economic message, her foreign policy message, all the rest. I think she would probably rather that be cleared off the deck. She knows she'll get another nominee or two that she can use to shape the court her way, but she doesn't get another first 100 days of her administration. Double that for if you're a Republican, because if you're a Republican and you nominate someone, now you know that the Senate Democrats are going to seek their pound of flesh. They're going to try to block everything. And all of a sudden, the first 100 days of a Republican nomination, or a Republican presidency rather, is completely occupied by the fight over who the next Supreme Court justice is, which is a huge fight, but probably, you know, no one's running on that specifically. They're running on their trade policies and their economic policies and their foreign policies and all these sorts of things. And to drop the Supreme Court nomination right at the beginning of a presidency would I don't think help anyone who comes into the presidency.
Can you imagine who Donald Trump would pick?
Yeah,
I was going to say he'll immediately appoint Judge Judy to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
he'll have some kind of an apprentice, the apprentice for who's going to be the Supreme Court. It's going to become a reality TV show for who gets his.
Man, yeah, right.
No, I think that's, you know, who knows? But, you know, I obviously, if Trump were to win, and I think that's not likely, but I didn't think it was likely he was going to get the nomination either, and now that I guess that is likely. I think it's unlikely.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it doesn't seem like it makes sense for him to win, and I hope that this isn't going to happen, but, you know, people have underestimated him so far, and the allure of him for whatever it may be.
But the people, I hear that. Look, as someone who would prefer to see Hillary elected to Donald Trump, or any Republican, frankly, I'm somewhat giddy about the notion that Donald Trump could be the nominee because I still continue to believe that he cannot win the presidency. And I know this is being recorded, so God forbid, you know, 8 months from now, I look back and eat my words. But when you see his unfavorable ratings among minorities, you know, whether it be African American, sure, the Latino community, women, you cannot put together a winning coalition in 2016. Alienating the number of people who he successfully alienated and leaving
aside. Well, he can't. The only way that he can do it, or frankly Ted Cruz could do it, or maybe any other Republican could do it, is if you thwart the turnout, and they're trying to do that in every way they can, and also if people just sit home and sit on their hands because they don't like Hillary that much either. She doesn't have great favorables. So, you know, that's the concern, is that the turnout will be lackluster. He keeps saying how he's bringing so many more people into the party and he's got so many more people voting. The truth, of course, is they had more people in that field, and he really hasn't won anything above a 40 or maybe 45% threshold, where Hillary really has, and she always likes to say, I've gotten more votes than anybody, including on the Republican side, because, yeah, they have only two people in the race, and she has won several contests way above 50%, so with a lot more votes.
I would be interested to see if you applied kind of a turnout model from some of our lower turnout presidential elections, 1996, 2000, something like that, where, the country was doing fine, and people weren't super excited, as opposed to, let's say, 2008 or even 2004, when there was pretty high turnout, what that model would show. I still suspect that it's, you know, the level of suppression, of voter suppression, would have to be so extreme for Trump to prevail, given his current unpopularity within huge segments of the population. And frankly, I think that I can't wrap my head around the fact that he doesn't alienate more more people than he turns on. I get that there are some people who are attracted to his shtick and like what his policies or whatever it is, like him as a personality. I just can't fathom that there aren't more people who he alienates from the process. Yeah.
Well, I can't get what people like about him to begin with, so that's another story altogether.
I think he speaks to a small, not a small segment, 35%, 40% segment of the country, but nowhere close to a 51% segment of the country that you would need to win a presidential election. And for that, you know, the kind of, I guess, I don't even know if it's moderate conservatives, but for you label them establishment conservatives, moderate conservatives, whatever label you want to put on them, he turns them off to the extent that they're, you know, whether it be Mitt Romney or all these foreign policy people who came out, and they all just said, we are Republicans, we've always voted for Republicans, and we won't vote for him. So I just can't see him putting together the coalition to win a majority. You know, you don't hear Bernie Sanders supporters saying, I will never vote for Hillary if she's the nominee.
Well, you do have some. They do have some Bernie or Buck people. You know, they are out there.
I think that
I don't know what's the majority of Democrats or the majority of Bernie Sanders supporters.
I think it's such a slim minority. I mean, I remember 2008 pretty well, and you had a lot of very upset Hillary people when Obama got the nomination. But ultimately, she went to the convention. She gives her speech. Bill Clinton goes out and campaigns for Obama. And I suspect the same thing will happen with Bernie. If he doesn't ultimately prevail, and it doesn't look like he's likely to, he'll give a great speech at the convention. He'll get out on the trail and campaign for her, and he'll manage to bring his supporters along. Because I think at the end of the day, he cares a lot more about the country than he cares about tanking his opponent.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's run a good, as these things go, a pretty honorable campaign, I would say. He gets fired up. He's kind of a cranky old guy, but he does energize people. And he did give a great anti-Trump. Part of his speech the other day was very anti-Trump. And if he could turn that on and lay off Hillary, that you know, eventually he's got a right to keep going. Of course, you know, people who are on the Bernie end of things always say, well, Hillary went all the way till June. She, of course, was much closer with Obama in terms of the delegate race up until the convention.
And
than
I
he
think
seems to
you
be,
don't hear Hillary
point.
Or her surrogate saying Bernie needs to get out of the race. I don't think you because it is. It's a high level debate. It's energizing people in the electorate. I'm a Democrat, and I just can't imagine many Democrats looking at this thing and not being really happy with how the primary season has played out. Even if you're a Bernie supporter, you know, you've had a high-level debate. His message has resonated. He's got his points of view out there. He's changed the debate. Everything that you could want if you're not going to ultimately prevail, he's gotten. Contrast that with the Republican side, and I can't imagine if you're a Republican looking at your primary or your, you know, primary caucus season and being happy with it. Whether you're a Cruz supporter, a Trump supporter, anyone, I can't imagine looking at it and thinking, yep, that's the way we wanted that to play out, or we're happy with it. Or if you're just
But you have Lindsey Graham now. Lindsey Graham, who just a couple of weeks ago said if you shot Ted Cruz and held the trial in the Senate, you couldn't get a conviction. He's now campaigning and holding a fundraiser for Ted Cruz because he can't stand Donald Trump. So that's a very fascinating thing. What do you think about Cruz? If Cruz could eke it out, and also the math is not in his favor, obviously, but they may get to a contested convention, and who knows if they back him. What do you think about gaming Cruz versus Hillary Clinton? I mean, I don't know. The polls are definitely...
So I don't know what state Romney lost that Cruz wins. I don't know how he changes. I mean, we have now kind of ossified the electoral map pretty closely, going back to 2000, really. I mean, the Gore states, the Kerry states, the Obama two-time states. There's just not a lot of states that are in play. And I can't really – I mean, maybe Cruz does better in Florida because of his Cuban roots and if he can flip Florida, but that still doesn't get him his 270 that he needs. Ohio, I don't know that Ohio – that he – maybe he has Kasich as his VP and he can play in Ohio. I guess there are ways that he could try to angle his way into 270 votes. Certainly, I think he's got a better shot than Trump does, and certainly I think Rubio or Kasich would have a better shot than Cruz would. But it's not obvious to me. And the other thing is, it strikes me that if you do nominate Cruz with his positions on immigration, all of a sudden, Nevada and Colorado and even New Mexico, which have been competitive or somewhat competitive over the last three or four cycles, get taken off the table because their level of Latino the percentage of their voters who are Latino is increasing, and he's his policies are totally anathema to a huge majority of Latino population. Just his immigration issues are pretty
that's why, in some ways, I think Cruz could be easier to beat. I don't know if the polls so far don't really show that, but only because he's such a solid conservative, he has this agenda. Trump is more of it's more about his personality that he's running on, and some of the rhetoric, which can turn people off, sometimes can lure other people in who might not necessarily vote for the Republicans, because he's not really a Republican or a Democrat. He's his own, entity who has been playing both sides, the middle, and calling himself an outsider to his own advantage for 30, 40 years,
Yeah. I wonder against Hillary, what states does Trump put into play? I mean, I maybe Florida. I don't know. I've heard people talk about Michigan and Pennsylvania. Maybe, but I kind of doubt it. I'm just, there's this map that we have to wrestle with, and I'm not sure. You know, he can run up the margins even higher in the Deep South, and it's not going to get him one more electoral vote. So if he, Obama won. Lost Georgia by 7, and Clinton loses Georgia by 20. What difference does it make if there's no change to the rest of the map? So that would be, that's my only thought. But maybe I'm hopelessly naive or optimistic or whatever.
Well, we'll see. Turnout certainly will be key, as it always is for Democrats, certainly, and that's why they talk about voter suppression and all these ID laws and all these phantom, voter cheat, voter frauds that don't really happen. But getting back, we circle back to. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to just circle us back to Merrick Garland. What do you think? I mean, do you think already they're making a little wiggle room where some people, I know Susan Collins from Maine, who I don't know, she should just give it up and go to the Democratic Party already. She's too reasonable to be a Republican at this point, where she says, or she said initially, that she would have to do her job. Shocking thing in the Senate. and interview the person even before he was announced as the nominee. So she's on board, and there are a few other senators, I guess, who are up for re-election who are getting blowback in their own states that are thinking they may at least meet with him. So what is your take? Do you think it's going to come around and they're actually going to eventually hold hearings and vote on this nomination or no?
Boy, that's a great question. If I had to guess today, I say probably not. I think certainly the pressure is building. Obviously, the most important person – well, maybe not obviously, but in my opinion, the most important person in this whole thing is Chuck Grassley. He's up for re-election. He's chair of the judiciary. I think he kind of – if he goes to McConnell and says, look, I've got to hold a hearing, then I think the hearing gets held. But I think they came out so firmly, so staunchly, and they still are so answerable. The Republicans are still so answerable to their conservative backers. I think if I'm betting against, but it's not with a great deal of conviction because the pressure.
We won't hold it to it, Greg. But I mean, it seems like to the very last breath, the last bitter drop of this bitter brew of coffee, they want to obstruct Obama at every turn. And amazing how much he's gotten done despite that obstruction. At least that's my opinion.
That's right. I guess it would be pretty shocking if for 7.5 years we've seen what they've done, and in the last 6 months they decide, you know what, we'll back down and we'll start trying to work with the president. I think that, you know, maybe that's what's
well, I think the only way it'll happen is in that lame duck period if Hillary should win. Then they might say, well, let's just go through with it because this guy is at least middle of the road and he's older. I mean, because they're already hinting they may do that. I mean, that's what I just find it so fascinating to me that they show their hand at every turn. I mean, wouldn't it have been wiser for them to have not come out so obstructionist from the get-go after Antonin Scalia passed away and not just say, well, we're absolutely not going to consider anybody? I mean, why do they have to be so aggressively obstructionist? I mean,
they could have calibrated maybe a little bit better and said, look, it is highly unlikely that we will approve anyone. But if he sends us a highly qualified, just kind of signal that Merrick Garland is the kind of guy that we would confirm. Don't send us Loretta Lynch. Don't send us someone who's, you know, who would be unpalatable to us. But if you send us a middle-of-the-road person, we'll push that person through. Then they could have actually exerted some power over the thing. But by coming out and saying that we're not going to hold hearings, and if they stay true to their word or they don't hold hearings, then they've given away their own power to help shape the court, which just makes no sense to me. So it strikes me that they're putting no surprise, given that they are politicians. They're all politicians, but they're putting politics above even their ideology. It strikes me that they could have tried to advance their ideology to some extent by using their power a little bit better, and they just
well, their animus towards Barack Obama is evident, and the fact that on the day of the first election win, when Mitch McConnell and others got together and said we got to make him a one-termer, obviously is showing through. They're so ticked off that this guy became president to begin with, let alone won a re-election, that they're willing to sacrifice, as you said, even a reasonable exercise of their own power to defeat his cause. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens if Hillary should win.
Can you imagine anything more galling than, you know, they didn't want to be president, they didn't want him re-elected, and now it gets to a point, Scalia's replacement? I mean,
yeah, I
that's like you can exactly
we can't, and they got Donald Trump as their prohibitive nominee.
Exactly.
It's not a good day for Republicans. Hey, Greg Gervin, a pleasure talking with you. You got a lot of insights and knowledge. I hope you come back and see us again.
I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on. Greg Gervin, noted attorney and political and legal commentator. Love to hear your views. Weigh in via Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505. And I guess when it comes to love and Supreme Court nominations, you just can't hurry the darn things. Reach out. It is the AB Beth Arkowski Show.
I need love, love. Take the catering love. No, you just have to wait. You gotta try.
spews out into the universe to all these faceless people, and you can pretend that they're hanging on your every word.
Arrested on charges of an unnamed farmer, he was sitting in the witness stand. The judge's wife called up the district attorney. She said, free that brown-eyed man. If you want your job, you better free that brown-eyed man. Flying across the desert in a TWA, I saw a woman walk across the sand. She'd been walking 30 miles en route to Bombay to meet a brown-eyed handsome man. Her destination was a brown-eyed handsome man. Way back in history, 3,000 years, in fact, ever since the world began, there's been a whole lot of good women shedding tears over a brown-eyed handsome man. A lot of trouble with a brown-eyed handsome man.
got to know his limitations.
Grape and Murder in My Heart. for the judge, rounding out our Supreme set on the Amy Beth Arkoui Show. Also, 5 short minutes of Lovin' done got him 20 long years in jail. Great from the late Jim Croce. Wow, what a great amount of music he left behind and died only at 30, I think. Wow, amazing. And the Forgotten 45 for Dondi, how convenient. It's the brown-eyed handsome man from Chuck Berry talking about being arrested and hauled into court for unemployment. And the Supremes. You can't hurry love or Supreme Court nominations or, I guess, a presidential contest either, by the way. That one for Lynette and just now via Twitter for Stu, who said, love that song. Can I get a shout-out? You got it, Stu. Love it when you guys play with us in real time, by all means. Chime in, whether it's your favorite song. And you can, of course, if you have an oldie you want to hear, give me a hashtag Forgotten45. We may not get it on today, but we'll try to get it on for you another show. And, of course, you can comment on the Supreme Court situation, the presidential race, or anything else, by the way, that's on your mind. Also, if you're listening live on Friday, March 18th, you can call in at 347-857-4505 and have that be your ticket to the conversation. So join us any way you feel free to do it. And I think Aurora says our Facebook page is open, too, so if you want to comment there, do so under the promo. A lot of people get confused. Where should we do it? Just post it under the promo that's there on the Facebook page for today's show. In real time or later, because, you know, we check all the social media outlets and we talk about it and get you involved in the conversation 24/7 as the whole social media matrix has changed the way we do radio. And I'm happy for it because that means I communicate with you all the time and we do the best we can to keep up. So join us. So, yeah, a couple of folks chiming in on this Supreme Court business. Carl says on the Twitter feed, yeah, way too safe a pick. I'm with Bernie. Go rogue progressive because they're not going to confirm anyway. Yeah, kind of. I mean, Bernie Sanders, who was on the Rachel Maddow show yesterday, apparently said that he would definitely, if he gets the nomination and he wins the presidency, would ask President Obama to withdraw Merrick Garland as a pick because he would like to choose somebody far more progressive. Now, I'm not sure where that stands because once they're in play, it's up to the Congress, up to the Senate to confirm or not, and they're already hinting that should a Democrat win, Hillary Clinton or less likely Bernie Sanders, then they would maybe push it through during the lame duck period between November and the inauguration. Because fearing, certainly from Sanders and maybe from Hillary as well, that you're going to get a more progressive pick. Intriguing. I think President Obama is savvy, and he gamed it because he wanted them to be forced to act. Because if he came up with Loretta Lynch or he came up with some of these other people who were more progressive and younger, they would definitely obstruct. This way you're saying this is somebody you've already approved. And it's somebody who is middle of the road, and maybe a little too middle of the road for the progressives, but really shouldn't be anathema to them, right? I don't know. It's interesting. He does play it very cagey, and he's learned how to do it because he's had 7-plus years of this obstruction and this nonsense to get through. And you know what? His approval rating is 51%. Figure that one out. Congress, low 20s. Which makes sense because they don't show. I mean, look at Marco Rubio, who was blasted out on Tuesday. His comment, what is he going to do now? Because he's not running for re-election. He's already said that. He doesn't know. He's going to spend time with his family. Well, how about spending time in Washington? You have the lowest voter record. I mean, they're obstructing, so go help them obstruct, right? Do your job. Governor Chris Christie, who spent maybe 6 days between the fall and when he dropped out of contention for the presidential race, in his own state, because he was so busy campaigning in New Hampshire, et cetera. And now he, last week, in an appalling maneuver, instead of going to a state trooper, a fallen state trooper from New Jersey who died on duty, his funeral, instead of going there, he bagged that and went to Florida to have some tacky infomercial set up with big chairs and all the flags behind Donald Trump to interview Donald Trump. Crazy. And now he tells the state he's going away for a little vacation with his wife and daughter to celebrate their wedding anniversary. How nice. I would love to be a governor of New Jersey. Not only do you have to show up for work, you get this huge mansion with a funny-sounding name. What is it, Dumthwacket or whatever? Now, he knows he can't run for re-election even if he wanted to because he's term-limited out, but his ratings are way down, and most of the major newspapers in New Jersey have called for him to resign. He says he's not going to. Why should he? He's getting a government check. These are the guys who are so worried about government spending and fraud and all of that. Well, they're doing it. It's a welfare, high-paying welfare scam. Crazy. But the Friday, the Tuesday fallout, of course, from the presidential race, Marco Rubio got trounced by Donald Trump in his own home state. So it is. It wasn't a good day for him. It was a goodbye Rubio Tuesday.
She would never say where she came from.
yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright, or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes. Why she needs to be so free. She'll tell you it's the only way to be. She just can't be chained to a life where nothing's gained or nothing's lost. At such a cost.
Take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, "Hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side." Said, "Hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side." And the colored girls go doo 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 doo. Here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Alright. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fast. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doo 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 doo.
Thank you.
On the Amy Beth Oakley Show. Yeah, last Tuesday's dead, but there are many more Tuesdays to come in the primary contest. So we'll see what happens there. Dan Fogelberg, too. Illinois, a state we thought might have been in play on the Democratic side, but not so. Hillary won clean sweep on this past Tuesday, including Missouri, which was the last one that was very, very close, but she did pull it off. And, of course, we also heard Walk on the Wild Side from Lou Reed, talking about leaving Miami FLA, turned out to be his downfall. Marco Rubio, that is. And goodbye, Ruby Tuesday, or Rubio Tuesday, the Stones. I'm the Amy Beth Arkley Show. We'll see what happens. Bernie's still going strong. He says he can still pull it off. He's hoping for big victories coming this coming Tuesday in Idaho, Arizona, and Utah. We'll see. Of course, with the Democrats, it's all proportional, and with the Republicans, some are winner-take-all and some are proportional. Go figure these rules. You can drive yourself crazy. And now they're talking about when they get to the possible contested convention, which, you know, Donald Trump says there may be riots. Not that I would encourage it, but if I don't get the nomination and I'm so close, there could be riots. What about his rhetoric? It's so incendiary, and in fact, I think he's still being investigated in North Carolina for that rally that broke out, Fayetteville, North Carolina, I believe, in which that the protests were there and all these people were shouting, and that older man actually punched out one of the protesters. And, of course, Donald Trump defending it by saying, well, you know, he was taunting him and he couldn't take it anymore, and he put a certain finger in the air and it's not a nice gesture. Well, it's not a nice gesture, of course. And taunting somebody and yelling stuff is not nice. I'm not condoning it, but you can't then claim self-defense by punching someone. That's still a crime. And Donald Trump says he may, in fact, pay the guy's legal fees. Crazy talk, I think. And crazy talk, too, when he says things like there could be riots, when he says things with a bunch of people in the audience saying, I'd love to punch him in the face. In the old days, they'd carry him out in a stretcher. If you see people with tomatoes, beat the blank out of them. All this kind of talk, I mean, isn't it akin to yelling fire in a crowded theater? I mean, that is where the free speech line is drawn. It's a fine line, and it's hard to cross it. He probably won't get charged, but maybe he should be. It's very disheartening to me. I mean, I know people say, and I hope they're right, if he gets a nomination, and it looks like he's going to, that it'll be easier to beat than the other candidates for Hillary, or Bernie for that matter. I'm not so sure, though, because he's a wild card, and I don't know who he's pulling from. And that anger that he has fed into and is stoking, you know, again, as we keep saying, he didn't create all this stuff, but he's stoking it. He's stoking the fear, the anger, the xenophobia, all of this kind of stuff out there. And it's fomenting and it's getting worse, and I don't know who he's going to pull out of the woodwork to actually vote for him. So I don't know. Voter turnout is going to be key. Unity on the part of the Democrats is going to be key, and people can't sit on their hands and grouse at Bernie or Bust or Hillary or Bust or whatever it may be. You got to get out there, and you've got to show loyalty and support. It's a very, very crucial election, and I don't want there to be a lot of animosity on the Democratic side. So the Clinton people better play it cool, and so far they are, but there was a leak in the New York Times that President Obama was telling people that he thinks it's time for Sanders to wrap things up and support Hillary. Well, the Sanders people are blowing back, and you don't want to alienate them. You don't want to alienate Bernie and his supporters because you're going to need them. So let it play out. As they point out, Hillary ran all the way to the convention, too. She was a lot closer to Obama in terms of delegates. It was a much tighter race than it is so far against Bernie Sanders. But who knows? And as he said, mathematically, he's not completely eliminated quite yet. But he's getting there. And he's got to be careful, and I think he should really focus his energies like he did. I heard a snip of a speech he gave the other day where he was hammering home on Donald Trump. That's where we need him. So we do need him to be out there and working for the Democratic cause, however it plays out. So don't alienate him, though. That's really important. Twitter feed, AB writes, a lot of folks chiming in. Kelsey says, yeah, Bernie should stay in all the way, but go lighter on Hillary, and you don't need more debates. Well, I don't know. We'll see about the debates. I personally have had enough myself watching them. But Donald Trump has dropped out, and so they canceled a debate that was supposed to be held this coming week on Fox News. He's had enough, and it's not really to his advantage, because Kasich certainly wants to get more airtime, right? Kasich, as I keep saying, if he could somehow pull off a victory at the contested convention, would be the hardest one to beat, because he comes off much more moderate, and he certainly has a much more presidential demeanor, although he's slightly goofy. I mean, this Prince of Sunshine and Therapist in Chief, I'm not so sure that plays well, but I'm also not so sure that's really who he is. On Tuesday's show, we have a guest who is going to help us bridge the divide that we find America in. And one of his theories that he's floating out there, he had an op-ed piece about having Hillary and Kasich run together as a fusion ticket. I'm not so sure that's going to work. It's a fascinating idea. I think John McCain floated that idea when he wanted to run with Joe Lieberman. Remember that in 2008? And his handler said no can do and pulled out Sarah Palin from obscurity. Boy, do we love that. That was a winning move, right? But we'll see. I don't think Kasich will go for that. Of course, that would solidify a victory in Ohio, probably. You know, the theory being that Kasich is more moderate and too moderate, really, for the Republicans. I think he did reveal in one of his speeches the other day, or town halls, that his parents were always Democrats. Comes from a working-class background. But, you know, I don't think he's going to go for it. I just don't see it happening. Although, I mean, because I think he really has delusions of grandeur that he could somehow pull it off and be the big savior of the party at the convention. I don't know that that's going to happen either. Of course, their convention is before the Democratic convention. But, you know, again, we're getting too far ahead of ourselves here. But intriguing. And the thing about Donald Trump, though, is he is stoking this, and he's incendiary, and he is saying things that I think are detrimental and dangerous and may come back to bite him, maybe not. But there are enough people out there on his own side of the fence that would like to take him down. The Never Trump movement, they came out with something that we can add to. March Adness. This one will rock your brackets.
Bimbo. Dog. Fat pig. Real quotes from Donald Trump about women. A person who is very flat-chested is very hard to be a 10. I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers. Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that?
She had the height. She had the beauty. She was crazy. But these are minor details.
I like kids. I mean, I won't do anything to take care of them. I'll supply funds, and she'll take care of the kids.
You know, it really doesn't matter what they write, as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of
That must be a pretty picture, you dropping to your knees.
There was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her... wherever.
Women, you have to treat them like
This is how Donald Trump talks about our mothers, our sisters,
our daughters.
If you believe America deserves better, vote against Donald Trump. Our principals pack is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm going to lose a lot of women. Republican women have already said, people like Christy Todd Whitman and others, if Donald Trump gets the nomination, they're voting for Hillary. And if he doesn't get the nomination, Donald Trump says, Cleveland will be rocking big time. Weigh in. AB writes in the Twitter feed, 347-857-4505 on the phone line.
All sessions as you enjoy the Moondog Show.
conducting a broadcast in direct violation of FCC Rule 27. Pull over.
I'm not going down without a fight! I'm the voice of the little man!
Under the Bridge, Red Hot Chili Peppers on the Amy Beth Arguey Show. Yeah, Chris Christie, Bridgegate is just around the corner, the trials, after all the headaches this year, right? And Ian Hunter, whether Donald Trump walks in with a nomination or fights it out on the floor, Cleveland will rock, indeed, Ian Hunter on the Amy Beth Arguey Show. Twitter feed abuzz at AB Writes. Marcy says, hey, I love the show, the way you connect the commentary and the songs. good stuff. Yeah, well, we try, Marcy. Thanks for noticing. It doesn't always work that way, but we do try. We do put a little thought behind it. And sometimes the conversation goes, you know, far afield anyway. Ben says, yeah, I'm with Hillary all the way, but I would accept Bernie, no Trump, no Cruz. I'm with you, my dear. And Ted says, hey, you know, Bernie beats Trump better than Hillary. You might think twice, Democrats. Well, yeah, I know. I've seen some polls that indicate that. And, of course, the polls are up for grabs now anyway, and I'm not so sure even that anybody beats Trump that easily. Again, I have some concerns about who he's going to pull from. But the truth is they haven't even begun to start in on Bernie yet. They're just chipping away a little bit. Hillary is kind of a baked-in deal. I mean, she's got a lot of unfavorables, too, for sure, and part of that is because she's been in the public eye 25-plus years. Bernie kind of more in the back room. But you could hear Trump already starting on him. Remember when he was blaming Bernie for the trouble at his rallies because a couple of people had Bernie Sanders signs? And he said, oh, our little friend, our communist friend, Bernie, hey, Bernie, keep your people down, all that kind of nonsense. He's going to start with that. And he had a surrogate, one of these crackpot pastors on some CNN talk show the other day, talking about how Bernie Sanders is unfit to serve as president because he hasn't been saved. He needs to have a come-to-Jesus meeting, he said. So here we go. The anti-Semitism is going to start percolating. You can bet on that. So I wouldn't quite say that Bernie is going to have an easier time than Hillary. And I don't even think Hillary is going to – I don't think anybody necessarily has an easy time. We don't know about Trump. Everybody has been underestimating his appeal and the way he's managed to knock down all the opponents on the Republican side. So I'm kind of nervous about it. I'm a little skittish. I hope everybody's right and that she would trounce him. I don't know. I think Ted Cruz might be a better bet because he's so unlikable for so many people as well. And he's solid conservative. So, yeah, he would gin up the conservative base, but he also might also gin up the Democratic liberal base because we know where he stands on stuff. So I don't know. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but it's not in our hands anyway. We'll have to just wait and see. Reach out via Twitter, AB Rides phone line. A few more minutes left here on the live show on Friday, March 18th, 347-857-4505. If you call in when the show's on, you just don't get connected. That's how it works. By the way, somebody asked me that the other day. Okay, so yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, and we got to do a little wearing of the green with a couple of songs. This one is kind of a real forgotten 45 because you never hear it. It's Paul McCartney, back up by Wings, and Give Ireland Back to the Irish on the Amy Beth Arquis Show.
Tremendous. long time ago when the earth was green, and there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free while the earth was being born, but the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, as sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo, and take some of them green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn. Old Noah was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, hey Lord, I got you green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn. Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was pouring. Oh, them silly unicorns. Green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees. Noah cried, close the door, cause the rain is pouring, and we just can't wait for no unicorn. The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Then unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn to this very day. You'll see green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never gonna see no unicorn.
Irish Magic from the Irish Rovers and the Unicorn on the Amy Beth Arcooley Show, and a real great forgotten 45 from Paul McCartney, back up by Wings. Give Ireland back to the Irish. Happy belated St. Paddy's Day. May your troubles be less and your blessings be more, and nothing but happiness come through your door, as the proverb says. Hey, thanks so much for visiting with us today. I want to give a shout out to our Inspiration to Action Challenge success story, Jack in Brooklyn, who writes in, I'm winding my way through a memoir. Thank you for giving me the courage, the discipline, and the inspiration. Love your show, by the way. Well, thank you, Jack. If the Inspiration to Action Challenge has worked for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out because you know you deserve it, and I think it also nudges other folks on. So send me a message over at the website. It's amybetharkawy, ArkAwy.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed, and we will do that for you. On the other hand, you need some cajoling. You're kind of in a creative ditch. I can help pull you out of it with a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one always on me. I ask you that you give me a week or two to connect, and we'll do so. And by the way, while you're at the website, you can peruse my stories, The Eliza Gordon Mysteries, Killing Time and Dead Silent, both available for ebook and paperback. Book 3, we're in the final proofing stages, coming out soon, sometime next month, we hope. And also Chasing the Codex, the Cozy Cat Press group mystery, is available. Find out all those details at the website, and tell us your guest suggestions, your big story ideas, and all of that good stuff, Forgotten 45s, too. Everything you can do at the website or on Twitter, of course. Speaking of which, don't forget to follow our producer, Trudy Hart, at Radio Trudy on Twitter. Follow me for the 24/7 conversation at AB Writes. Hashtag Big Story, hashtag Forgotten 45. You know all of that. You can friend me on Facebook and follow the show at the BTR site, Stitcher, Mixcloud, iTunes, Arts Radio Network, and Select Editions, too, on Popnet. I think we got it all in. Oh, and we've got to do this before we say goodbye. It's one of Trudy's favorites. an icon of comedy and good works. Jerry Lewis turned 90 on this past Wednesday, March 16th. God bless him. I'll leave you with a Jerry Lewis tune. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. And please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show for more crazy words and crazy tunes. Take care.
Crazy words, crazy tune, all that you'll ever hear him croon. Bo-do-dee-o, bo-do-do-dee-o-do. Sits around all night long, sings the same words to every song. Bo-do-dee-o, bo-do-do-dee-o-do. His ukulele, daily, how he'll strum. Bum, 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 bampin' and stampin'. Then he hollers, black bottom. Crazy words, crazy tune, he'll be driving me crazy soon. Bo-do-dee-o, bo-do-do-dee-o-do. Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg turned to the people and this was Hyde. Bo-do-dee-o, bo-do-do-dee-o-do.
And the old fiends are signed one day, this is what he wanted to say. Bo-do-dee-o, bo-do-do-dee-o-do.
Or Scott Lada,
Marlon Brando in the show. He would say, oh, so slow. Bo-do-dee-o, bo-do-dee-o-do.
Bo-do-dee-o, bo-do-do-dee-o-do. Fatty Fitzgerald in pain with a goat. This is what you'd hear him shout. Bo-do-dee-o, do-do-do-dee-o-do. When I'm naughty and I'm with Dean, this is what you'll hear him scream.
Bo-do-dee-o, do-do-dee-o-do.
His ukulele, daily, how he'll strum. Bum, 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 bampin' and stampin'. Then he hollers, a black bottom. Crazy words, a crazy tune. He'll be driving me crazy soon.